Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello there. Welcome to the program. Come on in. Make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak, and it's so good to be back with you here again this week. Fourth Sunday of Lent. You know, this Sunday is traditionally known as Laetare or sometimes Rejoice Sunday. This is the halfway point of Lent, the fourth Sunday of Lent. It's possible that the priest and the deacon may wear rose-colored vestments. Not always, but it is possible. It's permissible. And it's a reminder for us that we are nearing the finish line. I know halfway sounds like we're not quite there, but considering Holy Week and Holy Week is a whole week, once we hit Palm Sunday, we're in the home stretch, you know, and the entire week of Holy Week, that adds several days onto the whole Lenten experience. So being at the halfway point is, at least the way I look at it, more than halfway. And here's my logic. There were five Sundays in Lent. This is the fourth. So to me, you know, I know it's halfway. And honestly, if you sit down and work it out, it does work out. But it feels like we're more than halfway. And whatever the case, we rejoice today because we know that we are making progress, and I sincerely hope, and I really mean this, I hope that you are not panicking, that you're not getting down on yourself because your Lent is not progressing the way it should. I always like to tell people, and I've been traveling around leading Give Up Worry for Lent parish missions for several weeks now, and I always like to tell people, your job or our job is to try to do what we can to draw closer to Jesus during Lent and to maybe break free from some of those bad habits. That's our job, to do what we can. But also, primarily, we need to depend upon the grace given to us by the Lord to be able to succeed. So let's leave the results up to the Lord, and the success is up to Him. Our job is just to put in the best effort that we can. So that's what you have for the... That's my little pep talk for this Laetare Sunday or Rejoice Sunday. The message today, good news for the believers. That's what I came up with this. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and His power, what He can do, they're going to benefit from that belief. Those who don't, you know, there is free will involved. There is a choice, and we're going to see that play out in our readings today. Believing in the Lord and what He can do, who He is, that bears good fruit, but we don't have to believe. We're not forced. Hopefully, all of us believe in Him and are willing to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray right now, and then we'll take a look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent. We'll begin with the Gospel, as we always do, but let's place ourselves in the presence of our Heavenly Father, as I always try to do at the start of every one of these shows, and let's speak to Him. I'll lead, you follow along, and we'll have a great prayer session with our Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father, thank You for giving us this opportunity to spend time with You in prayer. Father, we're grateful for the fact that You are present with us right now, wherever we are. We recognize that you are all-powerful. We recognize that you are almighty. We recognize that you have created us out of love so that you could live in a relationship with us, not just in this world, but into eternity in heaven. That's pretty impressive, Father. You really must love us. We turn to you with all of our needs. We pray, Father, for the strength to listen to you, to follow your Son, to behave in a way which pleases you. We need grace to do that, we realize. But we have to cooperate with that grace, so we need the strength and the desire to always cooperate with that grace, even when we might not feel like doing so. Father, we pray for our friends, our family, those who have asked for our prayers, those for whom we promised to pray. Maybe we forgot that we promised to pray for them. We pray for our church. We pray for our country. We pray for world peace. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for all of us, Father, as we continue to try to make progress in holiness this Lenten season. We pray for a greater appreciation of Lent, of the church, and of the fact that you adopted us as your children. We pray that we can appreciate that even more, Father. Father, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. Please give me the words today so that I can deliver your message. Please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message. And Father, as we always do, we ask these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. And again, I am so glad you are here today. Glad we could spend this time. Let's settle in. Let's make ourselves comfortable as we look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent. Couple of pieces of business. I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com, and remind you that even though it's Lent now, we're progressing through Give Up Worry for Lent in my daily email reflections. Once we hit Easter, then we're going to go back to Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And I'd recommend if you want to keep up with not just these reflections, we are at an all-time high number of subscribers, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you if you are subscribing to the newsletter or to the daily reflection. And we're going to shift back to Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled once Easter is done. We'll be pretty much reflecting in some way on the daily Mass readings. I'd love to have you along with me. It doesn't cost anything. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and either the sign-up window will come up, or you could just go directly to the little box toward the top where it says sign up for Gary's daily email reflection. There is a new Advent book coming out. I'm going to be having that come out very soon. I'm not sure exactly when. I looked at the final proof for the book. I just gave my go-ahead on that. It's going to be pre-orderable, I should say, very, very soon. It's called Find Peace in Advent. It's very similar to Give Up Worry for Lent. If you would like to find out more information about that book, especially when it will be available for pre-order, please sign up for the email reflection, and you're going to be the first to know. That is my main way of keeping in touch with all those who... all my readers, all of my audiences, I use this email reflection. So if you would like to sign up, I would encourage you to do so. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go for that. For information about all of my books, followingthetruth.com also, or to book a parish mission. I've already been getting inquiries about Give Up Worry for Lent 2025 parish missions, not too soon. Also, a couple of people have booked talks for the remainder of the year and parish missions. I don't only speak during Lent. I speak all year round. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go so that maybe I could come to your parish or to your conference. I'd love to do that. Love to share the good news with you and or your parishioners or conference attendees. Followingthetruth.com is the place. Okay, that's the business portion of the show. So again, we're on the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. Let's go to the gospel. Let's go right to the gospel now for this Sunday. And again, my theme, at least when I prayed about it, good news for the believers. Good news for the believers. Let's look. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 is the gospel for today. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Everyone who believes in him. See, that's good news for the believers. There is some, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot produce any kind of a document to guarantee the fact that we're going to heaven. We can only go to heaven by virtue of the merits won for us by Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, we're going to get there by grace. But we do have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to believe in Jesus Christ, and not simply to just believe that he existed, but to believe in him and believe in everything that he said. You know, there's a big difference there. So let's continue with this. We're about to read one of the most, I think this is the most popular Bible verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him," right, there's that "believes in him, might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light." See, there's that free will. People preferred darkness to light, "because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that the works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." It's so obvious when we look at this reading that we do have a choice. We don't have to believe in Jesus. We don't have to listen to him. But it is so much more beneficial for us. It has eternal consequences. I mean that in a good way, if we do believe in Jesus and his message. Let's look now at the first reading. It's from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 36, beginning in verse 14. And see if you can find the connection between the gospel and this reading. "In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests, and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations, and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem." Now we see supposed believers, people who should be believing, not believing. They're believing in false gods here. We may not believe in false gods, but, you know, we really do. We might not believe in golden calves or that kind of false gods, but there's a lot of false gods in the world today. A lot of them have to do with comfort and pleasure and power and things that are really opposed to the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. So don't be surprised as you read this if you might feel some connections. Now, look, I think we all do this a little bit. We all do this a little bit without realizing it. It's one of the great things about Lent, because it's a time set aside to recognize that maybe we have strayed. Maybe we have a few golden calves in our lives that we are paying more attention to than the Lord. All right, back to this first reading. "Early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets, until the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy." Now, do you see the connection between this first reading and Jesus? This is very prophetic, because Jesus would be rejected. You know, all the prophets, many of them got rejected. Now God sends his only son to try to really get the attention of the people. And what did they do? They ignored him. They persecuted him. They put him to death. So sooner or later, according to this first reading, the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. Remember this, and I just think it's only fair to put this in there because the God of the Old Testament sounds so much harsher than the God that Jesus talks about. It's the same God. We have to remember that God revealed himself to his people in stages. He's dealing with people here who are one step away from idol worship, who don't really understand what it means to worship one God. So he's got to make sure that he gets their attention. And this idea of God getting angry, God doesn't get angry because God is unchangeable. He's immutable. He doesn't get angry. In order for him to get angry, he would not be able to be called immutable or unchanging. This is a figure of speech to make it easier for the people to relate to this. They mocked the messengers. God got angry. Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all the palaces afire, and destroyed all its precious objects. Those who escaped the sword were carried captive to Babylon, where they became servants of the king of the Chaldeans and his sons until all the kingdom of the Persians came, until the kingdom of Persians came to power. All this was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbaths, doing all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest while 70 years are fulfilled. What's happening here is God, because of the disobedience of the people, you know, he's got to find a way. He does this with us too, to get our attention when we stray. And sometimes he'll allow things like this to happen because he cares about us. He wants to get us on the right track. He allowed the people, the Israelites, to be taken captive, and Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed by the enemy, and the people were taken captive to Babylon. And they stayed there for 70 years. And this was all part of the process. You know, this was meant to help them because God cared so much that he wasn't about to let his people turn away from him without trying to intervene. Now, here's the good news. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout his kingdom, both by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says King Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever, therefore, among you belongs to any part of this group, any part of this people, his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. See, King Cyrus, he's a good king. He came to power, and he's making it possible for some of the Israelites who were held captive in Babylon to go back and rebuild the temple. So we sort of see this hope, which is very appropriate for this Laetare, Rejoice Sunday. And we also see the idea of God's mercy. In God's mercy, he intervenes. He allows something seemingly bad to happen, the destruction of the temple, the captivity of his people. But in the end, this ultimately results in them coming back to Jerusalem with stronger faith than ever. And this is the way it's been with the Israelites over and over. They would grow close to God. Then they would stray. Then they would stray. They would get tempted by the pagan culture around them, and they would turn away from God. And they didn't have to get their attention. They'd come back, and you know, it kept going like that, on and on. And in many ways, we see that happening in our own society. Some people aren't getting the hint. But, you know, it's just a reminder for us that God is going to do what he has to do to try to get our attention and try to get us back on the right track. The season of Lent is exactly designed for that purpose, to get us back on the right track so that we don't stray and that we draw closer to him. But again, it's up to us. We don't have to believe. For those who believe, it's good news. Right? For those who don't believe, it's not good news. And really, I'm talking about mainly Jesus Christ and surrendering to him, believing in what he has to say, living our lives according to his words, his teachings. And then that's going to be good for us. But we don't have to do that. And there's a lot of people who don't want to hear what Jesus has to say and really don't want to follow him. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 137. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. By the streams of Babylon, we sat up and wept. We sat and wept when we remembered Zion. On the aspens of that land, we hung up our harps. And this is the lament of the Israelites who were taken captive in Babylon. For there our captors asked of us the lyrics of our songs, and our despoilers urged us to be joyous. Sing for us the songs of Zion. How could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten. May my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not, if I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. Again, people are lamenting what happened, how they were taken captive, how the temple was destroyed, and longing for a better time, longing for that time when they could go back, when they could worship God in their temple. And for us, as we look toward Easter and the resurrection of Jesus, as we're getting toward the end of Lent, it's a reminder for us. We're suffering now. We're fasting. We're recalling the Lord's passion. But also, we keep one eye upon his resurrection because we know where this all leads. Let's look now at the second reading. It's from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Remember what we were talking about earlier about we can't get to heaven just by our good works? It's through the grace given to us by Jesus. That's how we get to heaven. Of course, we have to what? Cooperate with that grace. We have to do our part, but we're not doing it by ourselves. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them. We get the grace, and then we have the ability to choose to believe and accept that grace. But it's free will. It's free will. Good news for the believers. Getting back to that theme again. For some, it's bad news. For some, the idea of the teachings of Jesus Christ, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing because they don't want to be restricted. They find it restrictive. Nobody can tell us what to do. I'm not going to listen to Jesus. I want to have fun. And, you know, there's varying degrees of this. Not everybody goes all in or all out. I think we all stumble at times. But this is a reminder. I think that all these readings serve as a reminder that sometimes the Lord has to take away our comfort in order to get our attention. And during Lent, you know, and I touched on this earlier, this is something we work on voluntarily to try to give up, detach ourselves from things, which may be taking the place of God, you know, kind of like putting the false idols, the golden calves away, put them on the shelf and focus more on the one true God. We do this voluntarily, but we also have these happenings in our lives, this suffering that is not voluntary. It's suffering we don't choose. That could be tougher. You know, if you ever felt like during Lent, you choose what you want to do, you choose how you're going to suffer. Then when other things happen, you think like, whoa, wait a minute. I chose to give up candy. I didn't choose to get sick. But these things do happen. And we need to remember that we need to be aware. We need to be open-minded about the way the Lord works in our lives and how sometimes he permits things to happen, such as sickness, such as job loss, you know, loneliness. He permits these things to happen just like he did with his Israelites in the first reading, in order that he can get our attention and make us realize that maybe we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe we're not worshiping him the way that he deserves. And ultimately, that worship, that turning to God, that putting him first, that's what's going to bring us happiness, both in this life and in the next. But we don't see it that way. The idea of experiencing peace in the midst of suffering and even joy to a certain extent, that's foreign. That's tough. Most people do not understand it, but in reality, it's true. And it's literally what St. Paul gets at in Philippians chapter 4 when he talks about this peace beyond all understanding. Paul could be peaceful, as can we, when we're going through suffering. Paul did it when he was in captivity, and we can do it no matter what we are facing if we choose to follow the Lord and to embrace our suffering, our crosses, and to unite them with the suffering of Jesus. Again, this is an act of the will. This is an act of acting upon our beliefs. Good news for the believers. The unbelievers, not so much so, because they're not going to do this. It takes a lot to put our faith in the Lord like this. But we're going to be rewarded for it. And ultimately, that is why we rejoice on this fourth Sunday of Lent, this Rejoice Sunday. We rejoice because of the presence of the Lord, because of the fact that he did certainly die on the cross, painful, very, very hard to think about. But in order to have an Easter Sunday, you need a Good Friday. Amen? So his death on the cross gave him the opportunity to prove that he can rise from the dead, and also to what? To transform death, the horror of death, into the gateway to eternal life. So it's a good thing preceded by, what, a bad thing. And you see, again, evidence of that in the first reading. Yeah, the people were taken into captivity for 70 years, but then they were released. And then they began to get back on track. So let's look at that during the remainder of Lent. Let's rejoice. Let's realize that, yeah, Lent is coming to an end in the next several weeks, but it's coming to an end. And if we were faithful to doing something for Lent, some kind of sacrifice, an attempt to draw closer to Jesus, it's going to bear fruit. And we're going to emerge on Sunday, Easter Sunday, closer to him than before, and also filled with more peace than before. All right, I want to thank you for listening. Any comments, questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com. God bless you, and hopefully, God willing, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.